I know that everyone here is well aware of the terrorist attack that took place on September 11, 2001. We all remember the planes flying into the Twin Towers. We all remember the tragedy that cost so many lives. President Bush rightly pointed out that the assault was an attack on our freedoms. The terrorists can't accept the freedom that we have as United States citizens and chose to stop that freedom any way they could. There's been another attack on freedom that has been going on for centuries. Legalists that cannot accept the freedom we have in Christ have been trying to attack the purity of the gospel message. Many people try to add to it or take away from what Christ did on the cross. Many people try to diminish the fact that the blood of Jesus is the only thing that can save them from their sins and get them right with God. They claim to be Christians, these legalists, but their insistence on adding to their own agenda to the pure gospel of Christ nullifies their claim to be Christians at all. Unfortunately, many true believers look at these legalists and tend to think that because they demand more rules and regulations, they are actually the most spiritual among us. But Paul makes it clear that nothing can be further from the truth. Anyone that tries to add to what Jesus did for us on the cross is not really a Christian at all. Anyone that takes away what Christ did on the cross is not a Christian at all. In fact, the rules and regulations they insist on adding to the true gospel is proof that they don't ever really believe in the gospel taught by Jesus Christ himself. As a background to our study today, we're going to talk about the freedom of grace. The freedom Christ offers us by his grace and what he did on the cross. Paul, having traveled to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, in that passage we learn that some men had come down from Judea telling the believers in Antioch that they had to receive circumcision of Moses, that they were to be saved. Paul had gone to Jerusalem to discuss this matter with other apostles. If you get your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 2 this morning, we'll continue in our series that we have been preaching on this month, Growing in Grace. And in our message this morning, we're going to talk about the freedom of grace. Here in Galatians chapter 2, Paul relates what took place at the Jerusalem Council. And in so doing, he reveals to us the freedom of grace. In Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, we're going to read down through verse 10. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by the revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who is with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, whom came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But counterwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for Paul, the apostle, that has wrote these words for us to study today and see how these legalists were trying to change the church and trying to change what Paul was preaching, but he stood firm. And Lord, help us today not be like these legalists. Help us not add anything to or take away from what you did on the cross, for that was all that was necessary for our salvation and for us to be right with God. Help us as we teach today, for it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. So what can we learn from Paul's writings? Well, first of all, freedom source. There are two very specific areas of understanding that are necessary if we're to grasp the importance of this freedom today. These should remove any doubt, any shadow of a doubt, that we might have concerning what type of freedom is being offered to us by grace. Number one, it is a gift to us from God. That grace that Paul talks about, that grace that Paul was so insistent to preaching to these people at Jerusalem, was the grace of God that Christ would go to the cross, suffer, bleed on that cross, having the nails drove in his hands and in his feet, and die there upon the cross. That grace that God provided by Christ dying. Paul was insistent on the fact that that's all that was necessary. But these Jews were trying to change it. Galatians 2, verse 2. And I went up by the revelation and communication unto them that the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of a reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now Paul met these legalists. He met these Jews that were trying to distort the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only gospel of Jesus Christ. And he called them these men of reputation. He went to them privately to try to convince them that grace was by Christ only, but they wouldn't accept it. Just like they wouldn't accept Christ as being the Messiah. We talked about it in our Sunday school this morning. The Jews at Jerusalem were so insistent on seeing more miracles, seeing more things that Christ would do in order to believe in him, but they still did not believe. They claimed to be men of God. These Pharisees and these Sadducees claimed to be men of God, but they strained, what did Christ say? They strained at a gnat and swallowed a camel. They strained to know him, but they did not know him because they would not accept what he did. Though I went up, that Paul refers to, is the city of Jerusalem, where some of the other apostles were located. Paul had been teaching about the freedom of grace, and God revealed to him that he needed to go to Jerusalem to get a firm backing of the other apostles. The Galatians needed to know that Paul was speaking for himself here. God had revealed the exact same message of grace to all the apostles. God led Paul to Jerusalem to show the church of yesterday and the church of today the unified testimony emanating from these chosen servants of God. Paul traveled to Jerusalem to meet the other apostles, to join with them, and to try to convince the Judaizers, try to convince these legalists that they were wrong, to try to convince them that they needed to accept Jesus, but they still refused. No matter how much they taught them, no matter how much they could do, they still refused to believe them. Secondly, it is Jesus plus nothing. It is Jesus plus nothing. Now, I want you to remember that. It is Jesus plus nothing or adding nothing. It is only Jesus. Only Jesus. What was the testimony of all the apostles? Look in Galatians 2:6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's persons, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. And what had Paul been preaching? He had been preaching that salvation comes only through Jesus Christ, not by the circumcision, not by keeping the law like the Jews were trying to proclaim. Paul was trying to tell them and trying to convince them that it was Jesus plus nothing. Listen, salvation is by Jesus plus nothing. As soon as you try to add to what Jesus did on the cross, you diminish its effects. In fact, if you think that by your own effort you can add something to what Jesus did on the cross, then you don't really think you need the Christ and the cross at all. If you do it, or I can do it, or we even have the power to add to it, then what do we need in the first place of the cross? If we could add anything to what Christ did, if we could take away anything Christ did, what would be the purpose of the cross? What would be the purpose of Christ dying on the cross? If you could add to it, if you could take away from it, Christ wouldn't have had to die. But Christ did die on the cross. He died because only through His shed blood could we be saved. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. Listen to that again. For by God's grace are you saved through your faith in what Christ did on the cross. For by God's grace are you saved by your faith in Jesus Christ, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God. Now, if you think for even a moment that God's gift isn't sufficient for you, then you really misunderstood the whole concept of the cross. God in the flesh literally was nailed to a cross, died in our place for the penalty of our sin, so that we could have eternal life with Him. Do you really think there is something you can do or say to add to what Christ did on the cross? Do you really believe that something needs to be added to it? Do you really believe something needs to be taken away from it? It's Jesus Himself, only Jesus. It is His shed blood that paid our sin debt. It is His shed blood that made us right with God. It is His shed blood that brought us into a relationship with God that was broken back in the Garden of Eden. We can't do anything to improve on God's plan. I want to park here for just a couple of minutes and give you three facts concerning legalists. Those who think they need to do something other than accept God's grace and His grace by faith in Him. Number one, many who are in bondage themselves resent those who are free. The black man who makes good is called Uncle Tom by those of his own race. The drug addict who cleans up his act is encouraged by his friends to start using again. The schoolboy who refuses to give into peer pressure is called a wimp or sissy because he won't do what he knows to be wrong. There are those within the church who are in bondage to legalism, who resent those who have freedom in Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says this, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." Paul said these false brethren were brought in unawares. They didn't recognize them. They didn't see them as being false brethren. They were brought in and started preaching this false doctrine. Paul says they were brought in unawares who came privately to spy out our liberty or our freedom in Christ, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage again. Paul had just been brought out of bondage. Yeah. He had just been saved on the road to Damascus. He had just met Christ and been changed. But these legalists were trying to convert him back to Judaism. They were trying to tell him that you must be circumcised. These men not only want to remain in bondage themselves, they want to lock up everybody else as well with them. That's what Paul was trying to say. Paul is very clear to the point out that these people are not even really Christians. There are always those in the church who want to add rules and regulations to our salvation that can't be found in the Bible. They're called legalists. In larger churches, there's many people that try to add to what Christ did. In larger churches, there's many people that try to take away from what He did. Listen, it is Christ, Him alone. It is His shed blood that saves us from our sin. It is His shed blood that gives us that freedom of grace. It is His shed blood that gives us that time that we have with God. The legalist likes to rule book religion that allows him to keep score on his own life as well as the lives of others in the church. He chooses to follow laws that God has never given because he is more comfortable keeping his own laws rather than giving himself over mind, body, and soul to Jesus Christ. Nobody threatens legalists more than one who is truly experiencing the freedom that comes from Jesus Christ. We, as God's children, can fight these legalists by telling them the truth. We can give them the scriptures to tell them it is Christ alone that paid our sin debt. It is Christ alone that made us what we are today. It is Christ alone. We as Christians need to be more about telling people about the freedom we have in Jesus. There's a religious journal I used to read occasionally called Firm Foundation, which reveals in condemning those who say they are saved by grace alone. I have read numerous articles where they have become infuriated by those who claim that they know that they have salvation based on the finished work of Christ on the cross. We must pity people such as these, those who claim to follow God, but in so doing they destroy the Spirit of Christ, which sets us free. Paul's example teaches us how to react to these legalists. Look in verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for 1 hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul said, I didn't even give them a minute. I didn't give them so much of a foothold in the gospel because I did not want you to be deterred. That is the message for the church today. Don't give in to the legalists for a moment. Don't treat them badly. Don't throw rocks at them. Don't verbally abuse them. But do stand up for the freedom you have in Christ. The freedom of grace finds its source in God. And there's absolutely nothing that we can do to add to what he has already done. Secondly, we want to talk about freedom's effect. One pastor said, my mother was raised in a very legalist church. They had rules for everything. She was not allowed to cut her hair, wear pants, put makeup on, go to the movies. And the list goes on and on and on. If you don't conform, you weren't saved. The funny thing is, not one of those things she was forbidden to do is mentioned in the Bible. We have churches today that still tell women they can't wear pants. They must wear a skirt to church. They cannot wear makeup. They cannot wear jewelry. They cannot wear anything. If you do, you're not a believer. We still have churches today, believe it or not, we still have churches today that practice the same thing that this mother was years ago. It's not that God doesn't give us any guidance on clear ethical teachings instructing us how to live, but he clearly does. But I think you will find that the Bible has a whole lot more to say about what we should be doing than it does about what we shouldn't be doing. If we spend our time fulfilling the positive commands of God, we certainly won't have to be concerned about the negative things that God would not have us to do. The freedom that we have through grace is the freedom purchased for us on the cross by Jesus Christ. It is a freedom not from something, but for something. I'll say that again. It is not a freedom from something. It is a freedom for something. Yes, we are saved from our sins, but we are saved for a purpose. We are saved to serve God. We are saved to do what God has called us to do. It is not a license to do whatever we please, but liberty to do what pleases God. In fact, when we truly understand the freedom of grace, what pleases God and what pleases us will become synonymous. Now, in the context of the passage under consideration, we're specifically referring to the freedom of salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. What happens to a person or a church that begins to understand this freedom of grace? Well, Paul clarifies our mission. When people try to add to what Jesus has already done for us, it throws our mission into complete and total confusion. When we're not experiencing the freedom of grace, you will think that your mission in life is to correct everyone around you. Rather than emphasizing the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, your focus will be on externals. Our job is not to point out everyone's faults, but to point them to the cross. In response to the legalists, where Paul is teaching them. Look in verse 5 again. He says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not one hour, that the truth of a gospel might continue with you. Listen, the safeguarding of the truth is what keeps our mission streamlined. We are not here to be as social commentators of our day, but the restorers of lost souls through the freedom of grace. Paul solidifies our message. I live near a church that had this following message on their church sign. First Church, Fundamental, Premillennial, King James Only, 1611. Now what did the message send to anyone that bothered to read their sign? Well, most people probably didn't even know what it meant. But for those that did, it was saying that the church's focus is on a particular denominational creed, a specific belief for when Jesus will return, and aversion to using the Bible translation other than the one stated. Now, what does the message have to do with the gospel of Christ? Nothing. King James Only, premillennial, has nothing to do with Christ. Yes, it's their doctrinal belief. Yes, it's the way they live their life, but it has nothing to do with the gospel. While it is fine to have opinions and positions in all these areas, when there is focus, and that focus is our message, it simply confuses the people we are trying to win to Christ. When we understand that the focus of our message is the grace of Jesus Christ, that is what we will preach and teach. That is what we will live. That is what we will tell our friends and neighbors about. When I understand grace, it makes it so much easier to communicate the truth that is found in the pages of the Word of God. Paul said this in verse 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to not know anything among you, save Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. That is the central message. That is what we need to be telling people. Not about what we do in church. Not about how we perform. How we have our Sunday school class. How we dress. How we do things specifically. We should focus on the testimony that Christ died for our sins. That Christ is the only way that we can save the world in Him and His shed blood. Notice verse 2. Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all we need to know. When we do like Paul and focus on the person and the work of Jesus Christ, not only is our message solidified, it becomes Holy Spirit empowered. Paul demonstrates our maturity in this lesson too. Paul demonstrates our maturity. For those that have been trained in legalism, it takes a great deal of maturity to be able to become an agent of God's grace. It takes a real willingness of heart to take and to look for a second time at what God is asking us to do. And that's not always easy, but it is what God desires. When Paul left the apostles in Jerusalem, they acknowledged that Paul was called to minister to the Gentiles, while Peter was called to minister to the Jews. Paul had a specific mission God had given him. That was to go reach the Gentiles. Peter was to preach to the Jews. Paul was to preach to the Gentile people, and that's what he did in his own time and talents. They were emphasizing that the issue each apostle would face would be dressed in the clothes of a particular culture they were ministering to. Paul relates this to the Galatians because he had given up on them. He had wanted them to clearly see that one does not have to become a Jew to be a Christian. And he wants us to know that no one, not a single person, ever has to follow our made-up rules to follow Jesus Christ either. Missionaries have learned that the most important thing to do in a foreign culture is to bring Jesus to them and let them worship how they want. Listen, if you're a missionary, you have to respect cultures that you go into. So what do missionaries do? They offer Jesus, they invite him in, and they let them worship him like they worship. They let them worship him like they worship. Listen, we used to try to Americanize every people group we came across, but the message of the gospel is that we are all one in Christ regardless of race, color, or nationality. Mm-hmm. If you want to apply this in a particular way, it means that if we win someone to Christ who is a Mexican, he can still follow his traditions and festivals and customs of his land, even though he's a Christian. He can still follow his customs that he's always participated in and still be a Christian. Listen, my friend, his Christianity is based solely on his relationship to Jesus Christ. If we win somebody who is American Indian, they are free to follow their customs and traditions that have been handed down to them through many of their ancestors. Their freedom is based on the relationship of Christ, not on a conformity to my preferences. This also applies to the Jew. If he wants to follow his rites of circumcision, if he wants to celebrate the Passover, if he wants to have a bar mitzvah for his child, so be it, as long as he doesn't make it binding on somebody else. When we start recognizing people for who they are in Christ rather than that who they are on the outside, we will begin to mature in our faith and what God has called us to accomplish. In conclusion, this year, tens of thousands of people will migrate into the United States. Many of them are coming from countries where a socialist or communist system of government is practiced. As Neil Diamond sings, they're coming to America. They're coming to America for the same reason your ancestors and mine came to America, and that was to seek freedom. Many people will come into our nation to seek freedom. Religious freedom, economic freedom, political freedom, and that is what they get, freedom. Those of us who have become children of God can praise God for something else. The freedom that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even though all citizens of this country can enjoy the same freedoms that come simply as a result of living here, only those who are citizens of the heavenly kingdom really understand what true freedom really is. Only us who have given our hearts to Jesus can understand what true freedom in Christ really means. Listen, my friend, there's people in our time today, people in our land today, that are from different countries, different places, different cultures. Let them do what they do. Their outside is not important to God. Their inside is. God wants them to have a relationship with Him. That freedom that we find in Jesus Christ can only be found in Him. Nothing added to it, nothing taken away from it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to bring Your Word, Lord, this morning. We thank You, Lord, for these apostles, and especially the Apostle Paul that wrote this great book of Galatians, to teach us on the freedom of grace, to teach us that there are people in the world today that still try to add to the gospel, still try to take away from the gospel. But Your Word says that only through the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, only through His shed blood can we find redemption. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. Amen.